we talk about the fact that there is harmony present in the universe, sometimes materialist or atheistic scientists argue that it is only we who are perceiving the order, and actually beyond our perception there might be disorderliness over there, because disorderliness is what is required by the law of thermodynamics concerning entropy, which says everything goes into disorder. So in general, as the answer is concerned, it is not that scientists have found order only in patches of the universe. Scientists have found order practically at every level of the universe. And in fact, the deeper we go, now earlier, scientists thought that, okay, maybe the, like at the time of Darwin, the principle of heredity was not known. It was just biological characteristics and similarities between monkeys and humans that he saw. But later on, as we studied genes, then we went into the cell itself is like a whole universe.
Yes, cells itself.
So similarly, if we go deep into the, well, that's biology. If we go deep into physics, now within the atom, the subatomic particles, the way that they seem to be arranged is very difficult to understand, but there is an order over there. In fact, the whole ability of science to study the universe presumes the existence of some kind of order. Because if there were no order, science would not be able to study the universe at all. At the same time, it is a given fact that there doesn't seem to be order everywhere in the universe. Now, there, somebody may say there is no order in the way, say, black holes are sucking in certain things, and certain parts of the universe may seem disordered. So that's also possible. But if we see a house in which one room is very disorderly and one room is orderly, actually this is not an exact replica of the universe, because in the universe there is much more levels of order than there is disorder. And even according to, there are what scientists call as random systems, where they use fluid mechanics, they use chaos theory. But even in chaos theory, actually what seems to behave chaotically, in a cumulative level, it behaves in a predictable way. So that's how we can have equations and we can have utilization of that behavior. That means we don't see absolute disorder.
Group correct. Philosophy and less like that.
We don't see anything behaving in an absolutely disorderly way. So if I come to a house where, say, there are 5-10 rooms, and 9 of them are clean and orderly, one of them is disorderly. So now, based on this, I can't conclude that, okay, this room has not been used, this house has not been used for 100 years. There's nobody taking care of them. It's because one part of the house is disorder. What is possible is, wherever there is an order, there has to be some ordering principle or ordering person. And if within that same system there is disorder somewhere, that could mean that somebody has intentionally kept the disorder over there, or that disorder is a part of some other purpose. You know, one of the favorite examples which Darwinists give is that if God is good and God has created all living beings, and God has made a lion in a way such a way that lion eats the deer, and lion is adapted to catch the deer, and deer is adapted to run away from the lion. So on whose side is the lion? Whose side is God? Is he on the side of lion or is he on the side of the deer? So they say actually there is no order, but that's not the point. There is a simple example to give this is that suppose somebody makes a video game, and in the video game there is thieves and there are policemen. Now, thieves are expert to run away from the police, and the police are expert to catch the thieves. And depending on the player of the video game, who will win or who will lose. So there is apparent conflict of interest between the thieves and the policemen in the game. But still, that conflict is also having underlying order to it. Similarly, there is conflict in nature, but there is underlying order. What is that underlying order? This world is actually a place of misery and reformation. That's why the misery is there. So even when we see a disorder, then there has to be an underlying order. So what happens with the atheistic outlook is that the preconceptions bias their judgment. So even when they see order, they feel underlying this must be some disorder. Now somebody may argue that, okay, your preconception that there is a God biases your judgment. Because you feel there is a God, so even when you see there is a disorder, you find the order over there. But the point is, if you look at the history of the universe as it has gone, even from the scientific point of view, we have found order at deeper and deeper and deeper levels. And there are certain places where we have not been able to find order. But still, there are places where our equations work. And that means there is some kind of order that is there. So that's why the famous scientist said, the universe is looking more and more like a great mind and like a great machine.
Stephen Hawking.
Not Stephen Hawking, this is somebody else. He also talks about this, but the point is, a machine is, and it's a really recent one, some J. So the point is that if you talk about a mind, then there is intelligence, there is organization, there is consciousness. So the atheistic idea of the universe is like a machine. You can always ask that the machine looks like requires a maker. But still, when you talk about a mind, means there is intrinsic order over there. So the more science is probed the universe, more we have found order everywhere. And that is why it is important that we let the evidence speak. And the evidence indicates that there is order to it. So generally speaking, the atheistic scientists try to ascribe that order to principles and laws. But then they themselves can't explain why the principles and laws exist. So the laws of nature are not like laws of logic or laws of mathematics. Laws of logic and mathematics mean 2 plus 2 has to be 4. But E does not have to be equal to MC square. Its laws of nature are not logical necessities. F is equal to G M1 M2 upon R square is not a logical necessity. Why is it like that? There's no explanation for that in science.
Ah, good. So in this regard, I have put up this also, that the gravity, how does gravity came. So he said that it's a predominating idea of how we feel that gravity, but it's not gravity, it's just carved space and time. Like putting up a ball in a chadar. Okay. And
the thing is that when Newton proposed gravity, at that time he himself could not explain how a force could go through space. So that question was unanswered till the time of Einstein. And Einstein said that actually there is no such force. So he said that when there is actually space-time is a continuum, and the curvature of the space-time creates the illusion of gravity, creates the effect of gravity, not call it illusion, creates the effect of gravity. That is fine. If that's, again, considering gravity to be a force that transmits through space, and considering gravity to be an effect of the curvature of space-time, both are essentially models. But still, there is some principle that governs that model. So whether I use this or that, see, there's an essential difference between describing a phenomena and explaining a phenomena. There's a describing a phenomena and explaining a phenomena. That means, say, if I see this painting, I describe, oh, there is Krishna in between, there are the gopis and there is Vrindavan. So I'm just describing it. But by describing, I don't explain how it came about. Similarly, whether we use Newton's model for trying to make sense or for describing that behavior, or we use Einstein's model, we know how that behavior came about. Why did that space-time continuum get the property by which then when matter comes in contact with it, it gets curved and that creates a particular effect?
Because we know it's only curved because there's the weight, that bit of weight won't be there. So we're presuming there's a weight.
No, the point is that even if weight is there, even if mass is there, why that interaction produces that particular effect according to a particular mathematical formulation?
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. That's what we don't have answer.
That's what Srinivas Ramanujan said, that an equation for me has no meaning unless it represents a thought of God. So, science as observes design in the universe, and rather than ascribing design to God, it ascribes design to principles, laws and equations. But then science is again left with the problem of explaining where those principles, laws and equations come from. So those principles, laws and equations, we don't propose that God has to personally intervene and manage everything in the universe. God has created a system by which it's managed, and that system can well be governed by these principles, laws and equations. So ultimately, the materialistic explanation has to face the final challenge of explaining how order emerges from disorder. Now, you can use for that an ordering principle as an equation. But then do equations exist eternally before the universe was there? Obviously not. You know, equations, to a large extent, are conceptions within our mind. Those conceptions may be correlated with factual behavior of matter. But then again, you will face the old question, like in philosophy there's a question, who came first, the chicken or the egg? So here the question comes up, we say, we observe matter and we say equations are governing the behavior of matter. But then, do those equations exist before the matter came up? But equations basically are conceptions about how matter behaves. So if there is no matter existing and behaving, what is the meaning of having those equations? So, you know, you can go from the design in matter to the equations governing matter, for example. But eventually, still the question remains, where do the equations come from? So many scientists try to propose that those equations are inbuilt in nature. But the problem with that is, nature itself is not eternal according to physics. So if we have Big Bang, before the Big Bang, whatever existed, and if we say that, you know, that itself is filled with complex equations, then we are not really ascribing it to nothing. There are many scientists, I gave a long answer on my website to this question. You know, the different scientists who tried, it's a popular passion within atheistic scientists today to try to explain how everything can come from nothing. But for everything to come from nothing, they have to redefine nothing so that it contains a lot of things. So they have to redefine nothing. Okay, nothing is there, but nothing is. It contains potentiality for matter. It contains matter which was going to be governed by particular laws. So it contains the potentiality for matter. It contains the potentiality for laws. And certainly not nothing in the normal sense. So then everything is coming from something only. So that's why the materialistic explanations face this problem, which is unsolvable. And logically speaking, to say that there is organizing intelligence who brings about order is far more tenable than to say that just some abstract principles, which we don't know where they are existing, they bring about order. That's why the theistic position is much more intelligible and acceptable from an open-minded perspective than the atheistic position. Thank you.
Thank you very much.